This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, good morning, one and all. Frank Proctor here, sous chef of the garden, ready to introduce the star of the show, really. That would be my good friend, Charlie Dobbin, who is in her home in Prince Edward County. Now, here in Toronto, I'm looking out the window toward Liberty Street. I can't tell whether it's raining yet or not,
but
it's very dark and gloomy.
Pouring here.
Oh, is that right?
It's a gloomy, wet day at my house.
Yeah. Oh, golly. Well, we're going to bring a little sunshine your way. We've got some special guests who will be dropping by from our sponsor, actually, Stoke Seeds. Delighted to have them on the air with us.
Excellent. I'm looking forward.
And you've got a couple of announcements, too, right?
I do. So I was sent a note by the Aegean Court Garden Club. I just wanted to give everybody a heads up that they are having a virtual Zoom meeting on Monday, March 8th, 7 p.m. sharp. The topic is Fantastic Ferns, and it's Gail Bebby who's going to be the presenter. However, in order to join a Zoom meeting of a garden club, I think you have to join the club. So here's my suggestion. If you're interested, everybody should bookmark the website Garden Ontario, one word, gardenontario.org. And from there, you can reach out to any society. They're all in there alphabetically. Go to society listing. If you want to click on the Aegean Court Garden Club, you can give them a shout and say, listen, I want to join your club. You sound like a pretty fun group. So that's a suggestion for people that are staying at home but want to make garden friends from afar. And then just one more, because I was sent this a couple weeks ago and I did mention it, another virtual, it'll be a webinar, it's a CD Saturday virtual webinar brought to you by the London Middlesex Master Gardeners, and that is happening on March the 6th. So that would be a week from today, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Skating around it again, aren't we?
I'm looking at a calendar.
Yeah, exactly. It's so confusing. Every day just bleeds into another, and you don't know where the hell you are half the time.
What day is it? I know. I know it's Saturday when my alarm rings, right?
That's right. That's right. You've got a problem there at home with the gypsy moth eggs, right?
Well, I just thought people might be interested to know. We had an email a couple of weeks ago from Julia Wynn, and she got me looking up gypsy moths and, of course, how to control them, because they're just devastating. They just do such damage. And, of course, oak leaves are their preferred food, but at this time of year, they are in eggs. So look for eggs. There I was out there shoveling my driveway, and I paused, and I was looking at the bricks at the front of my house, the stone, and in between the stones where the mortar is inset, I thought, that's kind of a weird brown, different look. It's a wrong color. It's not my stone color. And then I thought, that's kind of that buff color that I was reading about for gypsy moths. But it didn't look like an egg nest. It looked very solid, and sure enough, it was. It was hard to pick it out. But once I started picking, sure enough, I found, 150 eggs in there. So,
wow.
Yeah, and I'm happy to say I annihilated those gypsy moths. They are not hatching.
Good for you. Okay, we'll keep up on track of that particular little problem on your property, but we'll deal with other folks who have problems, and hopefully you'll offer up some solutions. I'm looking at the phone lines, and when we come back, we'll take a little break right here. But we're going to be talking to Gail, calling in from Cottage Country there, Fenland Falls, on the line, and back with more from Charlie Dobbin here on The Garden Show momentarily.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, let's take a little trip to Fenland Falls, great cottage country. Yeah.
Frankie, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
I don't think you gave out the numbers.
You know, I didn't. You're right. I was nonplussed here. Okay, let me do that right away. All righty. In Toronto, call 416-360-0740. Then anywhere in the province, toll free, 1-866-740-4740. There you go. Thanks for catching me up on that.
Thank you.
Gail in Fenland Falls on the line. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning.
Hello,
Charlie. I'm phoning about a plant called Salvia rhea, R-H-E-A. Every year I plant tall salvia in a raised garden all around the perimeter of our house. Now, I've always treated it as an annual, but last fall I decided to leave the plants. I cut them to the ground, and right now they're appearing as a little short brown twig sticking up about 4 inches. But do you think they will come back?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I'm just doing a quick look here. As far as I know, so we do our best estimating on whether things will survive based on the hardiness of a plant, right? So Salvia rhea, lovely, lovely plant, no question. But it is, minimum cold hardiness. So it's minimum cold hardiness is about -7 degrees Celsius or 20 degrees Fahrenheit. So that means that it likely will not have survived. But what's so interesting is plants that we think of as annuals, I think of things like snapdragons as an example, even impatiens used to do this sometimes. They will set seed in the fall, and then the seeds will drop, and then sometimes the seeds come up in the spring, and we think, oh my goodness, that plant must be a perennial. But the actual mother plant has died, but the seeds have survived.
Oh, interesting. Okay, yeah. I'm so glad I asked you. I would have been depending on these plants to come back.
No, you better get some more.
Okay, thank you so much.
Nice plant, though.
Goodbye.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you very much, Gail. I got time for another caller here. We're expecting our guests to be joining us fairly shortly from Stokes Eats, so don't go away from that. Judy in Stratford on the line. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning. I have a question. I want you to tell me what we're doing wrong. A few weeks ago, you were talking about taking cuttings off your geraniums. So we did that. We took really nice stems. We cut them down underneath the nodes so they could branch out, put them in dirt. Mine are rotting. Mine aren't. What are we doing wrong?
Okay, so the cuttings you took, you said that you cut them just above a node?
No,
so that
below the node.
Below it,
so they could root out through that.
That's right. And then you put them into moist potting mix, I assume.
Yes.
And how many nodes are under the media or under the soil? Just the one node or is there
one
more?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so it's always a bit of a challenge when you only have one node that you're hoping roots will emerge from. What I would do is get a hold of something called stim root or
I use
root
that
hormone.
I forgot to say, but I used that
too. You did it. Was it a number one rooting hormone? Number one? Okay. So to use that properly, so nice, clean, everything's got to be clean, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you've got clean tools for your cutting. You dip your cutting into water. You dip that cutting into the powder stim root or rooting hormone. Then you knock off the excess powder. And then that whole powder-coated stem gets sunk under a moist media that, again, is sterile. It's not something that's been used before. So it's clean and clear right out of a bag. And then, are there flowers on these cuttings or leaves or what's on them?
There's leaves. We took the flowers off and
I put
them in a window that would maybe get an hour's sun a day, but not much.
Okay. And how many leaves roughly? How tall are these cuttings?
They would have been about 6 inches.
Okay. So keep in mind what's going on there. 6 inches of stem with whatever number of leaves above ground and no roots below ground, no ability to support that top growth. So no moisture getting in. And that can be super hard on a plant. So what you really want your cuttings only about 4 inches tall if you can. So if I were you, I'd probably cut off the bottom and start again, shorten down a bit.
Okay.
It's an interesting thing. So yes, if they're rotting is in a window, it could be too cool because remember, the warmer it is, the faster the roots will grow. You speed up all physiological processes when you raise the heat. And not to say that it should be sauna temperature, but just that in a window can be quite cool, and bright light will definitely help. So you want the plant to be photosynthesizing, you know, those cuttings. You want them to be actively growing, and they need certain conditions. So humidity, bright light, warm temperatures, and they should grow, particularly with the rooting hormone. If things start to look like they're rotting, then pull back on your watering. Just maybe you're just keeping the media a little too wet.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you, Judy. Yeah, just got the word that our friends from Stoke Seeds are waiting by, and we'll be having a chat with them. Charlie, I'll let you do the introduction in just a couple of moments here on Zoomer Radio. It's The Garden Show, my friends.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Well, Charlie, you know, I'm very familiar with the area where Stoke Seeds is located, having worked in St. Catharines for a number of years, southern end of St. Catharines, Thorold, Ontario.
Yeah, you lived there for quite a number
yes,
of years.
Yes,
too,
I did. And Stoke Seeds, I was doing a little research. I'm amazed. They have been a premier seed supplier to flower and vegetable producers since, get this, 1881.
I know, amazing, eh?
And we've got some of the head honchos on the line with us right
we
now.
We do. I want to introduce to everybody, special guest, Fraser Hetherington. He's the vice president of Stoke Seeds, and he's joined with one of his home garden specialists and customer service reps, Artie Egbali. Hopefully I've pronounced Artie's name properly. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Charlie. So happy to join you this morning. This is Fraser.
Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning. Artie, did I say your name right?
Yes, you did a really good job.
Okay. Oh, thank you. Yeah, so I hear you're quite the specialist. Are you, you're a gardener yourself, are you, Artie?
Yes, I am, yes.
Excellent. I'll be asking Artie some questions about what he likes to grow. But Fraser, I think that you come into this as the big wig. You've got the sense of what's going on in the industry. So I think our listeners might want to, like, based on what happened last spring, I mean, where we couldn't get a tomato plant if, you know, our lives depended on it last spring, what's going on this year? Is the industry going to be ready for the keen gardeners?
Well, we are ready. And yes, last year was really challenging, and it really came down to more logistical challenges. There mm-hmm. was never a seed shortage, you know, from the breeder, producer, suppliers from around the world, but it became, you know, logistics with huge increases in orders. And mm-hmm. then with the COVID situation and always wanting to keep safety at the forefront, you know, with the challenges with how to get more orders out the door, increasing staff, but then doing that with restrictions with physical distancing.
Wow, no kidding. So that was challenging. Because I remember last year, I think what happened was you put your home delivery, like your home customers, on hold initially so you could get your seeds out to your commercial growers first.
We did, and it was really unfortunate, but we really had no other choice. You know, as mentioned, you know, the company has been in business since 1881, and you tend to understand, you know, how to manage the business properly, effectively, and efficiently, you know, so that you can stay in business for this many years.
Yeah.
And it was just something that we just couldn't plan for. And we had to make that decision. You know, we do so much business with the commercial growers in Canada and across the U.S. as well. Mm-hmm. We came to the point where, you know what, we play a critical role in the food chain, you know, the food supply. And it was unfortunate that we did have to turn off our website and our phones there for a period of about, I think it was 3 into 4 weeks, just to ensure that we could get the orders out the door for the commercial growers that, you know, supply the food to the grocery store.
Oh, yeah, that made total sense to me when I saw that was going on. And I also find that a lot of home gardeners get so excited when their seeds arrive that they just start planting them right away, and then they kick themselves because they've planted their seeds too early. So maybe it wasn't a bad thing that you put everybody on hold for a couple of weeks and forced them to start their seeds a little bit later. And so how was your year? Did you end up just like best year ever in terms of sales last year?
You know, we did. It was one of the best years ever. And year over year, we saw a 20% increase in our home garden business last year. And now moving into this year, would you believe it? We are seeing that kind of growth, if not more, again.
Wow, that's so great.
Wow.
So in a 2-year period, we're going to see, I think, at least a 40, if not 50% increase in our home garden business, which is fantastic. It's so great that so many new people are coming to gardening and deciding that they want to do this on their own and grow their own food and experience the joy of growing their own food in their backyard. And it's fantastic. We're happy to support it, and we're doing the best we can, and it's not always easy.
You know, Fraser, I'm just looking at a note that was up on the website, and I'm just wondering, like your comment on it, says, due to restricted staff levels and extended delivery times now being experienced with Canada Post and UPS, you can expect home delivery of orders placed today to be 4 to 6 weeks, depending on your location
right. In
relation to your warehouse. Is that pretty well the case still?
It is, yeah. That is the current status here. Four to 6 weeks, mm-hmm. Due to the demand. We've got every department is working overtime. We've added an afternoon shift, which we haven't had at Stoke Seeds for I don't know how long.
Wow.
So we've done. I can honestly say we've done everything we can do from a staffing standpoint to be able to produce and get as many orders out the door as possible. And that being said, yes, we're still looking at that 4 to 6 week. If you place an order today, take about mm-hmm. 4 to 6 weeks, depending, to get it to you. Because as you mentioned, the courier companies, mm-hmm. Canada Post, everyone is experiencing delays due to the pandemic.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I was sort of quick off the mark, and I ordered up your catalog and had it mailed to me. And I just want to say it is a lovely catalog. Full of great information. Artie, do you have anything to do with the creating of the catalog, or is that more of a marketing department thing?
Yeah, that is more of a marketing department thing, but I also have a little bit of input in it because I'm in direct contact with customers all day long.
Yeah, so you know, they
do listen to me a little.
Good to hear. Well, I noticed there's a whole page on customer favorites, so I figure somebody like you would have a good sense of what those things are.
Yeah, like I talk to customers all day long and get a good feedback mm-hmm. on what works, what doesn't work, or, all sorts of things.
Artie, is there any such thing as the most requested seed that comes by?
Vegetable-wise or flower-wise?
Your choice.
Well, my goodness. Everything. I mean, we have such a wide range of customers that, everything is in big demand. I mean, from annuals to perennials to potting plants to mm-hmm. vegetables to you name it, there's a huge demand for
yeah.
it.
Herbs, all of it, I'm sure.
Everything,
but,
yeah.
But it's very cool because in the catalog, well, a couple of things that jump out at me. One is there's some nice recipes and some good tips for people who are growing and are successful and want to use their harvest. But there's a whole section on small space gardening. Do you get a lot of questions from people who are living in condos or balconies, terraces, smaller townhouses, and they're really looking for plants that will stay proportional to how big they can deal with?
Yes, I have actually a whole list of them if you're interested. I have some annuals, perennials, and vegetables that do really well in small spaces. And these are not small flowers, which normally are planted in small spaces. Little larger plants, but, very suitable for small space gardening.
Sure. Give us some examples. And would you say before you start there, Artie, are these plants that would do best in pots because they are fairly dwarf plants, or they're just small plants? They can grow anywhere.
They can grow in pots, in containers, and in flower beds.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
But the varieties are just so compact that, you can use them in any location, really.
Okay, so most people love tomatoes. That's got to be the number one vegetable. What?
Okay,
give me
so
a good
start with vegetables. Sure. I have
a little tomato, a good small space garden tomato.
Okay, I'll give you a whole list of them. For Roma tomatoes, Daytona is the number one for small space. And there is a variety called BHN685. I didn't choose that name. That's an excellent choice. For a grape type of tomato, we have a Smarty and Tidy Treats. For small round tomatoes, we have a Lunchbox and Patio.
Those are good names, yeah.
Yeah, and in larger tomatoes, Mountain Merit is one of the best to be grown in a small space.
Mountain Merit. I'm going to write that one down.
Yeah, and then for cherry tomatoes, we have Tiny Tim, Tumbler, Tumbling Tom Yellow.
Love yellow tomatoes. Mm-hmm.
I've got a question for Fraser, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I've just noted from some of the copy on the website that the territory managers and product teams review new products right across the country, including extensive trials in California, Florida, New Jersey, Wisconsin, New York, and here in Canada. And maybe a comment on that, Fraser. That's pretty impressive.
Yes, it's a huge part of what we do here, you know, researching out the best and newest varieties. And we work real close with our breeder producers and our commercial farmer growers across Canada and the U.S., you know, to see the new products, see how they're performing, also getting the feedback from the commercial growers so that we can understand what we think might be successful, you know, adding to the product line. And, you know, certainly over this past year, we haven't had the opportunity to travel and do as much, you know, in person, on the farm, walking the fields, trialing. And that's certainly been challenging. So, you know, we're relying upon the data the best we can. But the trialing aspect at Stoke Seeds is a huge part of what we do and a huge contributor to our long-term success and the value we offer our customers.
Yeah, it's a good idea, and I guess you're running the trials at the University of Guelph in the trial gardens there, or your own? You have some that right on location, too.
Majority are working in partnership with our commercial growers and the breeder producers.
Okay.
We just made the decision to close down the old traditional trial farm at Stokes on Lakeshore, and it was just a matter of we're doing so much extensive trialing, you know, with our commercial growers, that it just didn't keep our own farm viable anymore.
Okay, because I was there once with Loblaw. They were doing did an event. Yes.
Yes, you were, Charlie. That's right. That was maybe 6-7 years ago.
Exactly. Yeah, it was lovely. Oh, that's too bad. So that's shut down now. The farm.
We'll be spending even more time walking the commercial fields.
That's right. You got to do that for sure. All right. So back to Artie. Let's give me some examples of some hot new varieties that some of our listeners are going to want to know about. Just give me a good example of a hot new flower that everybody wants, is going to want once they see it.
Okay. How about Madonna White? It's a leucanthemum. Shasta Daisy.
Mm-hmm.
This one has a unique look, very compact, easy to grow, easy to germinate, flowers first year, and it's like maintenance free. You don't have to do anything to it.
No deadheading or anything?
Nothing.
Wow. Shasta Daisies can be great, that's for sure, but usually you have to deadhead.
Especially the Madonna White.
Madonna White. I'm writing that one down too. We're going to be getting people calling saying, what were you talking about on the radio? Madonna White. Okay, so that's a great new, and that's a new variety for you or a new variety in general?
It is, I believe it's a 2020 variety.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
So, all right, so give me a vegetable that everybody's going to wish that they had in their gardens this year.
Let's see.
How about some of these colored, go ahead.
I mean, I can, we have some varieties, you know, that are not traditionally grown in small spaces. Like,
that's
a couple of acorn squashes that you can grow in a very small space.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
I have a honey bear and cream of the crop. You know, these two, you know, it can be grown in a container even.
Wow.
They are that compact.
Wow, nice.
What if someone wanted the Stoke Seeds Grower's Guide? What website do they go to, fellas?
Yeah, they would go to www.stokeseeds.com.
Okay.
And we have the electronic versions there ready for download, or you can request a hard copy to be mailed to you.
And you also have a phone number for people that don't have access to the internet.
You sure do.
Shall I give her?
1-800-396-9238.
Perfect. And you know, it's funny because when I did mention this catalog and how much I was enjoying it, and a couple of the listeners responded, one of the response, it was actually Maureen, who's one of our consistent listeners. She goes, I got the catalog. It's great. She goes, and it's got an actual order form you can fill out and mail in.
Right. Still so popular. We get so many of people's customers' orders mailed in every year continually. So we're still going to keep putting that order form in the catalog every year.
I was going to say, that just takes me back. You know, that's how I always ordered my seeds, you know, starting when I first got into horticulture and started really, you know, growing things consistently back probably like late 70s. This was always the order form. I always got that out.
Yeah, and there's still such a large percentage of our home garden customer base that may not choose to want to be on the internet or on the computer or might not be savvy that way. And so we're happy to provide this form to help them determine what they want and what they need, and so we can get it out to them.
Perfect. So, Artie, do you have any particular favorite that you've grown that you would recommend other people might grow? I'm thinking something edible, perhaps.
Sure.
Put you on the hot seat.
The list is long.
I have a list.
I can hear it.
I mean, one of the easiest things to grow as a radish, a daikon. Mm-hmm. It's not an actual daikon, but white icicle. I mean, mm-hmm. it can be grown in a container without any problem, and it tastes great. It's excellent. Another one is a Swiss chard, bright lights.
Bright lights, I love that one.
You know, mm-hmm. can be grown as a baby Swiss chard.
And, oh, so pretty.
And then we have a couple of beets that they do really well in small spaces. Red Ace, to name one, mm-hmm, and baby mm-hmm. beet.
Mm-hmm,
baby
nice.
Beet is an excellent variety. And for, again, you know, container-grown carrots, we have Royal Chantenay. It's an old mm-hmm. variety, but, you know, it stays stubby and short, and it does really well, and it's excellent for juicing as well.
Oh,
and one of the best carrots around, Goldfinger, which can be grown both as a baby carrot or
full-grown.
Let it go full-grown to maturity, and it starts getting sweet, you know, right away.
You know, I'm sorry to kind of the enemy of this show is time, and we have just run up against the clock. But boy, we sure do appreciate you calling in, Fraser Hetherington and Artie Egbele. Thank you so much for some wonderful information.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. Take care, and I'm looking forward to getting my seed order any day now.
Awesome. We'll get it out there, and thanks for the opportunity, and happy gardening, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, you too.
Okay.
Stay well.
and to Eileen and Bob, who have been patiently waiting on the line, we're going to come to you, okay? Because you want to be part of the show here, don't you? You betcha. The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin on the air from Zoomer Radio.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Hey, Charlie, that was terrific having those gentlemen on here, Stokes. Really super. But as I had mentioned, there are folks who have been waiting on the line ever so patiently.
Oh.
Let's welcome Eileen from Thornhill to The Garden Show. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. I want to tell you, Charlie, I really enjoy your program, and I learn so much when I listen. So thank you for that.
Oh, great.
I have a bonsai cerisa, and the leaves grow with black tips. I've been spraying it every day. I've been watering it almost every day from the top. Like, I test the soil with the tester, and if it's, you know, I try to keep it as moist as possible. It's under grow light 12 hours a day. And it's like it takes a step forward and then a step backward, and I can't get rid of these black tips on the leaves.
Okay, so black tips, and these are they on all leaves, or do you notice it more on the newest, like the newest growth or the older growth?
The older, the older growth.
Older growth. So when we see black tips, and it's interesting because I'm pretty sure we had an email on this recently.
Yes, it was from me.
It was from you. Yeah, so I did talk about it on the radio. What I did say is yellow leaves is common, right? We see that all the time. When we see black, we always think a couple of things. One is usually fungus. So why would the leaves have some kind of a fungal thing going on? So we think air circulation. So make sure that there's sufficient air, not hot drafts from the furnace and not cold air from an open window, but just air movement around the plant. Make sure that it is in a nice, warm, consistent temperature. And underwatering may result in browning of the leaves. Of course, overwatering leads to rotting of the roots, and then, of course, the leaves, again, turn brown or black. So you're right. You do have to be very, very careful with your watering. Make sure that the water is not cold water, like straight out of the tap. Do you let it sit for a bit?
Yeah, I do. I'm really frustrated because I've tried everything. Moved it and I've watered it more because I was watering it less. So I started watering it more. I have to say it's better than it was when I was underwatering it.
Okay. Yeah. So all right. So just a couple of thoughts here. In the winter, all of our houseplants will slow down and we'll see very little activity from them. So we always less water just because there's naturally less light. Now spring is coming, days are getting longer, plants know it, there's no question. So do get into a pretty, when you are watering, water thoroughly. Make sure not just a couple of tablespoons of water. Make sure it's a real thorough watering. I love the idea when I think a plant really needs to be rejuvenated, I'll dunk the whole pot, you know, soil, root ball, everything, right into a big bucket or a sink of water and really, really, you know, eliminate everything out of the soil and fill that soil up with water. And then, of course, let it drain and don't do that again until it needs to be watered. Misting, of course, will help with humidity, but temperature and bright light also makes a difference at this time of year. So, yeah, just sort of I would sort of concentrate on those basic sort of things if you can. And I think you'll find that as the days do get longer and as you are giving more water and you can start to fertilize, of course, you never give much fertilizer to bonsais, but you know, be aware that fertilizer is, we're at that time of year. When we get to March, it's time to start a monthly fertilizer program with our indoor and potted plants.
Okay, so the only thing I haven't tried is like dunking the whole thing in water. I've been watering it from the top. So you think maybe doing it, kind of putting the whole thing in water would be a good thing to try.
It's an excellent way to water any plants because you got to realize that when the water is absorbed into the roots, air gets pulled down into the soil. So we always have something in the soil, either air in the pockets between the particles or water. And so the air can get very stale in potting soils, in any soil. So a really, really thorough watering forces all that air out, that old, tired air, and brings in some fresh stuff. And the roots will often be very happy for it.
Okay, perfect. So you think, how deep do you put it in the water? Do you put it like up to, you know, half the pot so it kind of soaks up, or do you totally submerse it?
I would submerse the whole pot.
Yeah.
Have you got like, moss or anything on the surface, or is it just soil on the surface?
Well, I'm sorry, we've lost the call.
Oh, Jimmy, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're worried that the soil's going to all come pouring out, then just go right down to the lip of the pot when you're putting it in the pail.
Okay. You know what? I'm looking at the clock, and we're going to take a little bit of a break, but just a heads up to Mike Benson. I know you got your mother's Hoya plant, and Charlie's going to give you a hand with that in just a couple of moments here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, phlox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Okay, Charlie, Mike Benson sent you a picture of a plant, a Hoya plant that was his mom's. He said, as you can see, it looks quite healthy, but I haven't seen flowers for a few years. What can be the problem?
Okay, so just so everybody knows, Hoya is also known as the wax plant. So it is a... of course, best in a hanging basket or some kind of a plant stand, because it's like a vining plant. It has a really long tendrils. And, it does come in green leaves or variegated leaves. And when it flowers, the flowers are so, they're not super beautiful, but boy, are they fragrant. Just absolutely gorgeous. So a couple of things to avoid. When you do see some buds at all, just to be clear, Mike, do not at that point disturb the plant at all. Do not remove the dead flowers and do not repot until you absolutely need to. So Hoyas, we leave them in their pots as long as we possibly can. So what do we do to try and get them to flower? Well, of course, just a regular room temperature is all they need. Bright light is good. Even some direct sun is fine on Hoya. They like a bright, bright spot. Water liberally spring to autumn, sparingly in winter, as most plants. Misting is a great idea. Of course, don't mist when it's flowering, but at this point, to encourage flowers, get that little spritzer out and get misting. If you are going to repot, if you feel you need to, and the plant is just completely in need of fresh soil and a bigger pot, do your repotting in the spring. And as I mentioned earlier, we are at the time where we can start looking at fertilizing. So this Hoya would be a, if you haven't fertilized, we shouldn't fertilize during the winter. So starting in March, we'll mix up a flowering plant fertilizer, usually mix it up in a watering can as per directions, and water thoroughly with that fertilized water and do that monthly right through until September. And I bet you you're going to have some flowers, Mike.
Sounds like some happy news for Mike there. Okay, we've got Bob on the line here from Scarborough. Let's check and see what's going on there. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning. I was listening there. The chap mentioned Madonna white daisy. That sounds like a plant for all everybody, right?
Yeah. Mm.
I wonder if you dried it, could you smoke it?
Why would you? It's a
well,
daisy.
It's dried and it must give a kick, right? Anyway, my story is here. I have an orchid, and I've had it for about 10 years, and I'm not sure of the pronunciation. I think it's... Catalina or something.
Oh, Catalia. Catalia.
Yeah, okay, I'm old and I'm allowed to make those mistakes.
That's fine. No. Everybody does.
So, anyway, it's about, I'd say about 24 inches wide. It's got about 20 leaves on it, big leaves, about 16 inches long. It stopped flowering. It used to flower every year. I soak it in the water once, so with some fertilizer once a month, let it dry out. There's a little tiny green sprout that comes up at the base of the leaf before it goes into the other stem, and mm-hmm. it dies off after about 3 weeks or so. So what's my solution here to save it, or should I just put it out in the back step and say, Lisa, don't come back?
Well, that's a tricky one to grow. Like, I can't believe you bought that 10 years ago. Was that like a real, that was not an inexpensive plant, I wouldn't think.
Well, I think they're about $39 then, and there was a place near me that sells them, and it was the end of the season, so I got a little cheaper, but the blooms are fantastic. It's a purple, you know, and every year it bloomed two or three, but the last two or three years. I was wondering if I change the media now, like a medium, should I, does it go good with sphagnum moss, or should
that or orchid bark and a clay pot, make sure it's not in a plastic pot.
Oh, it is a plastic pot.
Yeah, I would try that. I mean, if it's been in the same pot for 10 years, I would certainly consider moving it into something slightly bigger. It's a Cattleya, Cattleya. It's got a tag in it, obviously.
Isn't that what I said? No, I guess not.
But just double checking it. That is what it is. So you know what's the common name on that? It's a corsage orchid. Like, that's a big flower. So according to my authority book in front of me, 4 to 6 inch wide flowers. It is a terrarium plant. It needs high humidity.
Atmosphere then, right?
It needs high humidity and fairly constant temperature. So you got to do everything in your power to raise the humidity. And that's a good plant for a pebble tray. You know, you do the tray with pebbles and sit the plant on top. Get that humidity raised up around it. And for sure, orchid fertilizer, get a hold of some of that. Use that monthly starting now. And I wouldn't be surprised if you can get it to pop some more blooms for you. And if you're going to repot, spring is the time to do it.
What are those tiny stems that come out of the join to the bottom there, like a little stem, and then it dies off? Is that just, they don't flower there anyway, do they? They come out of the bottom, the stem?
Well, yeah, I mean, the leaves, it kind of depends. Most orchids have what's called they grow from a rhizome, and then you should see those little stems growing up should be the beginning of more leaves, which of course will become what we call pseudo bulbs, or you know, kind of another form of a bulb. So you do want those to grow up. If you want the plant to get bigger and fatter and juicier, that you do want that stuff to grow. So get that humidity raised, and I think you'll find that they will start growing better.
Hey, Bob, I'm looking at the time here, and hold on. I just wanted to thank you very much for offering up a handy excuse for all mistakes. I'm old. I thought that
it works,
brilliant.
Believe me. But you have to think of yourself as knowledgeable and young.
Have a great day, and thanks for joining us on The Garden Show. Charlie?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. My goodness, what happened to the time frame?
I know. Gone.
Holy Hannah. All right, well, thanks, everybody. Great having some guests. That was different. We haven't had a guest on the show in probably close to a year. So thanks so much for sharing the show from Fraser Hetherington and Artie Egbali from Stoke Seeds. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. And I hope our listeners got some good ideas on some great, you know, sort of varieties from Artie. And thanks, Frank, for being the solid guy that you are. Couldn't do any of this without you. And Carlos runs it all from the board. So thanks to Carlos. See y'all again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.